fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
Oh, that was really interesting, mate, yeah.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of The Extra Inch, your second in a week. We're spoiling you. My name is Wendy, and I'm joined by my sidekick and best friend, Bardi. Hello, Bardi.
Hello, Wendy.
And our tactics guy, Nathan A. Clark. Hello, Nathan.
All right, mate.
Boys, before we start, I need to hit you with a non-football question about towels, actually. It was my birthday at the start of this month. Thank you both for your cards and gifts. That was really kind of you. This is awkward. And my sister got me some really luxurious towels. They're great. They're the kind of towels you'd get in a nice hotel room. But they're black, and every time I use them, my bathroom is covered in towel fluff. What does one do to stop this happening? I've tried tumble drying them like 5 times.
You got to get a sister who isn't so tight and buys proper towels.
They're proper towels. They're expensive.
They're too nice. They're like impractically nice towels. Yeah, you just got to like shove them away in the cupboard and never touch them again.
Yeah, or wash them.
Well, this is it. I googled it today, and someone said to wash them in white vinegar. So I did that this morning.
It's not a poached egg, mate.
Well, this is it. Now I've got like towels that smell like a fish and chip shop.
Jesus.
And I'm still fluffy. I've got like chunks of fluff in my stubble. It's not good. Anyway, let's talk about Spurs. We played Burnley this weekend, a resurgent Burnley. We're playing them at a bad time, really, aren't we? Let's talk a little about Burnley in general, but there's a couple of points I want to touch on. Goalkeeper, and then also how they've changed things up in the second half of the season so far. But Bardi, what are your general thoughts on Burnley as a team and their tactical style under Sean Dyche?
You kind of stole my thunder there, because today when I was thinking about them, I couldn't get my head past Joe Hart, and he just seems to be a really bad goalkeeper now. And their kind of form matched the fact that Joe Hart was in goal, and we've seen a bit of a turnaround in their results since Heaton came back, who's an excellent goalkeeper, as he showed last year when he went to the World Cup, didn't he, when he broke into the England squad. And I think that's made a huge difference, having a solid goalkeeper, especially when you rely on that kind of back three of Tarkowski, me, and a good goalkeeper. So his form and return to fitness has been key.
And Nathan, what are your kind of initial thoughts on Burnley as a tactical unit?
Yeah, they're quite interesting. They get sort of lumped in with sort of the other more defensive, you know, English sides, but Dyche does things quite differently, quite interestingly. And one of those particularly interesting things is that he uses his goalkeeper in an interesting way. And there's not a lot of managers you can say that about, especially defensive sides, in that he sort of invites the shot, but then, I don't know how to phrase this, he invites bad shots so that historically his keeper can make a bunch of easy saves. And that's worked under a number of keepers, but it hasn't worked with Joe Hart at all. Maybe Joe Hart is just really terrible now. It seems like a very dramatic fall off, but it might just be that he's not a fit to that style of making a bunch of easy invited saves. Whereas whoever it is they've switched to now is putting it back together, and they're sort of returning to being classic Burnley.
Yeah, I think Nathan's point is right, that they will kind of surrender certain areas of the pitch and just invite someone to have a kind of speculative shot. Because I think last year, the centre-backs and Cork had really high kind of blocking stats. So it's definitely a game ploy of theirs.
They're very tight centrally, so they are incredibly narrow. They play with traditional 4-4-2 at the moment, and they use Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes up front, who are both players capable of dropping into midfield, and they often do to apply pressure to midfield build-up play. Dwight McNeil, who we'll come back to in a second, and Jeff Hendrick currently, although that might change for this game. They tuck in and they essentially track the winger of the opposition back, allowing their fullbacks to be even deeper and even more narrow. So they're in some ways they give up wide areas and allow crosses and then hope to defend those crosses. And they've got in me and Tarkowski, two players absolutely adept at defending crosses well. There was an interesting article on StatsBomb which Mike Goodman wrote, particularly about Joe Hart and the way that Tom Heaton's replaced him. And what was quite interesting about that was how few crosses these goalkeepers come for. And that's true of Heaton as well as Hart. And I think that's partly because they do simply trust me, Tarkowski, Cork, their fullbacks, Charlie Taylor and Phil Bardsley, to clear the danger. They're all good in the air. They're all solid, traditionally English centre-backs and defenders, so they will get rid of the danger. And it seems to work well. And then they've got sort of workers across the pitch in all other areas who just fulfil Dyche's tactical commands pretty well. But I think that the turnaround in form, because they were terrible for the first part of the season, the turnaround has come with a couple of tweaks, not just Heaton for Hart, but also, I mentioned Dwight McNeil, his introduction, and whether that was forced or not, we might come back to. And also Ashley Barnes getting a sustained run. Nathan, you spent some time in Brighton, and Barnes was previously at Brighton. Did you ever get a chance to catch him?
No, I've been meaning, the whole time I kept saying, oh, I need to go to Brighton game, need to go to Brighton game, and I failed terribly on that part. He's sort of the more dynamic of the two forwards, with Wood just sort of being the enormous lump, and Barnes sort of does the running off him and works channels and the like. But he is also capable in the air himself.
He's also a complete shithouse.
That's true.
He has a reputation for bad challenges himself, but also, and arguably more importantly, for winding up the opposition and causing them to get themselves into situations they shouldn't. And that is one concern whenever you play against Burnley. And it works really well. I think Barnes is very good at that. And there is value in that, particularly for a smaller club. But I do rate Barnes, and I think he's been pretty impressive this year, not just in the fact that he's scored 7 goals in the league, but the variety of goals he's scored. He's good in the air, but he's also capable of scoring from distance. But let's talk a bit about Dwight McNeil, who I think is a complete wild card. We don't really know a great deal about him. He's only 19. Have either of you seen any of McNeil?
Have looked at his numbers, which is a very nerdy thing to say, and seen how impressive they are. And I think Thiago mentioned him, was bringing him up to me and saying, there's this kid at Burnley who's tearing up the left wing.
So tell us more about his numbers, and then I'll tell you a little bit about how I think he plays.
So you've made a note here that he is top for dribbles, crosses, key passes, and third in tackles for Burnley, which is quite something.
It really is. And I guess the tackles thing is classic Dyche. You know, he will expect a winger to work back, and that's fine. And that's one of the reasons, I guess, why he bought Aaron Lennon, because he's a defensive winger. But McNeil's a really interesting player. He plays wide, but he plays narrow wide, and he bursts forward. But he doesn't burst forward with explosive pace. He's not slow, but he's not someone who's got great acceleration. He's quite a kind of upright winger who dribbles the ball well. He's very direct. He'll look to try and get bend crosses in. He's mainly left-footed, but he's also happy to try things with his right. And he commits players. And he's got this kind of confidence that I guess comes with being 19. And I've been incredibly impressed with not only his application, but the style of the bravery on the ball and the style of winger he is, given that he doesn't even have particular speed, as I mentioned. He's definitely one to watch. I don't think he's ever going to be top class kind of England caliber winger, particularly amongst some of, you know, if you look at some of the other wingers in his age group, we're thinking about Sancho and Hudson-Odoi, who are elite level. He's not like that, and I don't think he will be, but he's a very interesting player, and I can see him sticking around in Burnley's first team squad for many years to come. He's a good find for them.
Yeah, he's another sort of member of this chain of players who have sort of dropped out of the United Academy midway through their teenage years to go to Burnley and find success there at a later time. I think he used to play up front mostly in his academy years. Now he's transitioned to this wider role.
I can imagine that. I can actually imagine that. He's not thick set. He's quite wiry, but he's quite tall. And I can imagine when he was younger, he would probably have been able to do a good job up front. And maybe that's a transition he'll make in the future. Interesting player. The other big thing we need to say about the Burnley game is it could signal the return of Harry Kane. And we had a question from Rickard, Galaxy Hero, on Twitter, who said, is Kane trying to get back too early? Bardi, we've seen Kane sort of push himself back too early before, and it's been a bit of a disaster, but how do you feel about this return for Kane?
Hopefully, I, hopefully starts on the bench. I'd like to see him given half an hour, 25 minutes. He does seem to rush himself back. He wants to play every single match. But from what Pochettino's saying, he's not going to be pushed into playing Kane if Kane wants to play. I mean, didn't he say something like Kane was wanting to play 10 days ago? So I feel fairly confident that the club realise his importance, and his quest for the golden boot is small compared to what we're trying to do this season.
And Nathan, we've got a question from Javed Motherheady, who is the host of the Tottenham Hotspur Family Podcast and all-round very nice guy. He said, would you start Trippier against his old club or go for Serge or Walker Peters? Despite some of his shortcomings this season, surely he's the best in terms of delivery into the box of the aforementioned right-backs. Now, given what we know about Burnley's style and the fact that they probably almost encourage crosses and try to clear them, and the fact that what Bardi said, Kane might be starting on the bench, what would you do stylistically, and would you play Trippier?
I don't think, as you're right to point out, I don't think this is one where you want crossing. So if you are selecting Trippier, it's probably not for his crossing ability. But you're not going to rule crosses out entirely. There's always a time and a place, and you can manipulate the team into there being a chance. But this isn't, or this shouldn't be one, ideally, for just sort of shelling it into the box, into their sort of large gathering of 7 foot men. I'm always keen to see Kyle Walker get some minutes, and being as we do have sort of midweek games coming up, I think there's a good excuse to sort of rotate him in for not an easy by any means, but an easier game of what we have coming. Having said that, I sort of expect Trippier to start, just because I think that this is one where you want sort of safe, reliable, no frills, no risk. Trippier will do what is asked of him, and what is asked of him will hopefully open up the middle a little more.
And are you thinking 3 at the back, 4 at the back? Are we thinking Vertonghen might play again at left wing back?
Yeah, 3 at the back is actually not a terrible idea for this. I think that's definitely worth thinking about. It depends on the other players we have available. I'm not even sure who is or isn't injured anymore, because there's so many coming and going and so many games. But yes, I think there's good reason to play 3 at the back against Burnley's 4-4-2.
I think this game will. I think Chelsea will be on the mind of Pochettino. I think their lineup will reflect that. I'm not sure if Rose will play. Maybe we'll play a back four and play Vertonghen there. I think the Chelsea game will be playing on his mind, and I think we'll see a selection based with that game.
So let's talk a little about Chelsea. That's coming up very soon after the Burnley game. There's only, three days between them in terms of recovery. So there is going to have to be a degree of rotation. Chelsea are in a very strange place right now. I think pretty much everyone is talking about the fact that Sarri seems to be failing. I mean, he's not been there long, and he's got a unique style which will take some time to implement. But with the comments he's made about not being able to motivate the team, essentially with first team players letting him down and not fulfilling his instructions, it does in some way seem that the writing's on the wall. Bardi, what have you made of Sarri so far? I know you know a fair amount about him. Tell us first what you see his style as being, and then give us your thoughts on whether he's managed to implement it at all so far.
Well, his style is pretty much in the kind of Barcelona tiki-taka way, but faster and a bit more direct, and you use quick passing to beat the press. But I think his failure to motivate Chelsea players isn't something that we've seen this before. Eden Hazard could go a whole season in a bad mood and not score a goal. They've got countless managers fired, so I understand his I can't motivate the team, and the fact that they can be quite, they if, once they're in a bad mood, they're broken. There's some strong characters there. I think Sarri was the wrong appointment for Chelsea. They're not a club who's used to giving a manager with a philosophy time. There's a lot of talk about the misuse of Kante, where it's very clear that Sarri doesn't believe that Kante can move the ball quick enough, which is fair enough, because I don't think he can. For all his excellent skills and covering and making those tackles, he's not Jorginho. But the problem with Sarri is he should have shown a bit more flexibility, at least kind of bought himself some time instead of pushing his project on these players who are ill-equipped and then complaining that they don't work. There should have been give and take on both sides, but this will end in a disaster. They will fire him and everything else, they'll probably promote a youth coach because that seems to be where their future lies.
Nathan, I'm interested, but Bardi's picked a really good point there about Kante, and I'm interested in your thoughts there too. Kante's brilliant. We know he's brilliant. He's been so vital for first Leicester and in Chelsea. He's a wonderful player. He's playing almost in the Sissoko role that we've got Sissoko playing in, where previously he played as the deepest lying midfielder and he just put out fires all over the place and then, you know, got the move started. What do you think Chelsea need to do with Kante to get the best out of him?
I think all they need is time. I think that there's a perception about Kante that you've perpetuated yourself just there, in that people see him as a defensive midfielder, as a number six, but I don't think that is how he played in his best season for Leicester in the two-man midfield alongside Drinkwater, and I don't think that's how he played in his best season at Chelsea so far, which is in the two-man field under Conte. I think the role that he's playing now is really not far from the sort of the archetypal Kante. I think he's all about covering ground. I think he's all about being proactive in his winning of the ball rather than shielding the defence. He's going out there and he's winning it. He's taking the ball and then he's intercepting with a pass and he's running. He can really dribble for a guy who is seen as a defensive midfielder. He can really carry the ball and he's not a terrible passer either. I think he's playing the Alan role or Alan role. And I really think that that is the player that he is. Maybe he's playing, you know, 10 yards further up the pitch than you would want him. But that's an adjustment that I'm certain that he is capable of making.
Yeah, I would like to say this Chelsea's form isn't to do with Kante. It's bigger than that. I think Kante, as you say, plays that Alan role. And although he's an excellent midfielder. I think Chelsea's problems are in defence, obviously. That back four is a mess. Up front, I don't think Hazard is quite as in tune with Sarri's way of playing like Insigne was, and he hasn't got a Mertens in his team or a Callejon, these kind of players who really believe in what he's trying to coach them. I think Hazard is a fantastic player, but he doesn't seem... He's too wrapped up in himself. He doesn't play for the team. He doesn't play that Insigne role where his repetition of keep doing the same things and eventually it will come Hazard's a bit too free. But fundamentally, the biggest issue is at Napoli, he had Koulibaly, who's a fantastic centre-back. At Chelsea, he's got Luiz, who's all over the place, Rudiger, and Alonso, who's a terrible, terrible fullback.
There's a bit of stubbornness there on Sarri's part as well, isn't there? He's not played Christensen much, and Christensen's really highly rated by Chelsea fans. I know he's made a couple of errors, but he's a young guy and he's still learning the game. But he's a very good player and has a high ceiling, and I think he could do a good job. But also, like you say, at left back, Alonso was brilliant when they were playing a back three, and he basically just had, you know, half a pitch to run into, and he did that amazingly well. But as a fullback, he's severely lacking. He's not a natural defender, and he showed that in his first spell in England in the Premier League with Bolton, and he's showing it this season with Chelsea. So Sarri's stubbornness there is not helping. My concern is that leading into our game against them, they may have just stumbled into a successful formula. So against Malmo, they played Hudson-Odoi on the right, and Shotkara, he had a great game. He made 9 dribbles, he made 3 key passes, and he scored a really handy goal. Hudson-Odoi is an excellent player, and I do slightly fear that he'll keep his place and play against us, and I do fear for us should that happen. A couple of things to mention about Hudson-Odoi. Scouted Football tweeted, Callum Hudson-Odoi has completed the most dribbles in the UEFA Europa League this season with 25. He's only played 312 minutes. I mean, that's just insane. And Opta Joe tweeted, Callum Hudson-Odoi has been directly involved in 6 goals in his last 6 starts for Chelsea in all competitions, 3 goals, 3 assists. He's a player very much on the up, and I do fear if he plays, he'll play well. What are your thoughts generally, Bard? Do you think we can overrun Chelsea like City did?
Yeah, I think there's we can overrun them like City did, and we can beat them how Manchester United did. The goal that Pogba scored in the FA Cup reminded me a lot of a kind of a Dele Alli goal against Chelsea. I think for as much as Hudson-Odoi is a promising and dangerous attacker, I think there's bigger weaknesses elsewhere. But of course, as we know, Chelsea do tend to raise their game when they play us, as quite a few London teams do. So that's always an issue. But I mean, we should be too strong for them and their current way of playing, and it would be great to heap more misery upon them.
We had a question from Ian Hart, who is Ian K. Hart on Twitter. Nathan, I'm going to give this one to you. He says, how do you think Poch will / should manage squad rotation this week, given the tricky games coming up? I mean, we've not seen a huge amount of rotation other than enforced rotation over the past few weeks. I guess it's because we've had so many injuries that we've just been playing whoever's available. With players coming back now, that might change. And we've got the option, you know, Bardi mentioned that Kane might start on the bench against Burnley. Would he then come into your team against Chelsea? Does Lamela play a part in one of these games? Does Lucas play a part? What do we do with our central midfield? How do you manage this, Nathan?
Yeah, I don't think it's one where you go, you know, this is the B team game and this is the A team game. You just want to make sort of a couple of tweaks here and there. You want to be mixed strength throughout. And as you mentioned, with players coming back, that sort of makes those moves for you. So if you know that, you know, Kane's going to be ready to play by this game, then, you know, your standing play can get two games there. And we're not hugely heavy on rotation, especially sort of around this time of the season. I think there will be rotation, but I don't think there'll be much.
And would you go along with that, Bardi?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's kind of finding a mix between the two, not to go too weak or too heavy. We've got a lot of rest days in March because we're not in the FA Cup, so I think there is the possibility there to kind of mix and match it. I think Kane will probably start both games on the bench, and if he can pull an hour of football out of the two matches, I'd be happy and then kind of confident of him starting the North London derby.
And I think there's probably a core group who will start both matches. So I'm thinking Alderweireld and Vertonghen. I'm thinking Winks and Sissoko. And I'm certainly thinking Heung-min Son, who is just in the most outrageously good run of form. I'm really hopeful about Son against Burnley. If they defend their penalty area and they keep players narrow, we might be reliant on long shots. And, you know, with Son's ability to shoot from outside the box with both feet, that could be a route to goal for us. I'm kind of hoping that that's an early long ranger from Son could settle a few nerves, and that might be a way to break Burnley down.
Yeah, we don't score early against Burnley very often, so I think patience will be the key to keep playing and just wait for our opportunity, because eventually we will get it, and it's about taking it when it arrives and not snatching it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just about taking those moments when they come along and being clinical. And to be fair, we've seen that in recent games. We really have seen that in recent games through Eriksen, Son and others. We have a couple of questions. Firstly, I'll start with Brian Daly, who is BAS Daly with no E on Twitter. He says, if Christian Eriksen leaves this summer, could you see Kane dropping back to occupy the 10 role when we don't replace Christian? It's a beautifully cynical question, very Spursy. Bardi, what do you make of that? Could we play with Kane to 10 and Son spearheading the team?
No, it's just a bad idea. I love Kane, but no.
And is that more due to the fact that you prefer Kane to be up front, or more due to the fact that Eriksen's not really a 10 anymore? He's kind of an eight and a half.
It's more to do with the fact that I don't want to sell Eriksen and then just replace him with nobody. That I don't even want to Levy or Pochettino to even consider that option. Just if we sell Eriksen, replace Eriksen.
And Nathan, going along with Brian's kind of cynical view that we might not replace Eriksen, how do you replace him from within the squad?
I guess that means Lamela starts more often, and you have to hope that he can be consistent a longer period of time. Or it's more about we have moved to a three-man field already, but I was seeing that as more temporary, but maybe that sort of becomes a more permanent thing, and Winks becomes the most attacking eight, and he becomes the force of creativity. I think with regards to Kane, that he sort of has played, maybe not as a number 10, you might say, but he has played as sort of the second striker a lot this season, and that is a good role for him, but it's not the same as a Christian Eriksen. He's not, you know, the creative playmaker who runs the entire game. He can create chances. He's got a hell of a pass on him and a three ball on him, and he can carry the ball as well, but he's not a Christian Eriksen at all.
Strangely, I can actually see him playing as a 10 as he returns from injury, because it's probably slightly less running, and then other players around him can do some of that running for him. So that might work quite nicely as he recovers. But I tend to agree that if Eriksen goes, we just have to replace Eriksen. It's almost essential. And another question from John Steggles, lovely John Steggles, who is JW Steggles on Twitter. He says, is the two window transfer ban for Chelsea that much of a punishment given how Spurs have coped with their own self-imposed transfer embargo? Vardy, I'll let you go first on that one.
I mean, if they're going to stick with Sarri, then it's terrible because they, if they believe in him, they need to give him the players that he can work with. So in that sense, it's bad. But maybe it's also something that you would like a lot, an opportunity for Sarri to take a good long look at the players that are out on loan. God, I even sound like your jingle there. Have a look at the players on loan and the youth players and see if they can step up and fill those positions currently occupied by Pedro, Willian, Barkley and that kind of stuff.
And Nathan, I mean, if we start thinking about Chelsea perhaps bringing through some of these talented youngsters, I mean, honestly, they could basically, if some of these youngsters got opportunity, they could end up filling the England squad with half of their talent because there's so much. There's a proper conveyor belt of Chelsea youth talent. But are there any young players that particularly take your fancy in Chelsea's academy and who are currently out on loan, I guess?
Yeah, there's several. So Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount. They've got, so do you remember a long time ago, I'm going to get the names messed up, but it was Josh McEachran. He got like two or three games for Chelsea and there's a lot of excitement about him and then he just sort of vanished and disappeared. He has a younger brother called George McEachran, and he plays a very similar game and they have a chance to sort of get it right this time. But that's more down the line. Ruben Loftus-Cheek is still sort of largely on the sidelines. A lot of people are making this comment saying that, you know, the transfer ban could be a blessing in disguise. It could enable them to finally dip into just the incredible string of talent that they have. But Sarri is notoriously bad at bringing young players through and rotating at all. This should enable them to bring young players through, but I still feel they may well not do.
I feel like the only way it will happen is if Sarri is sacked and the transfer ban stands. I mean, if they appeal and they have a summer window where they can spend, I imagine they will just spend like mad. And it, in many ways, it will make the situation worse for the young players because they'll probably stockpile knowing they'll have a future ban to deal with. But if needed, the talent is there. Jada Silva, who's on loan at Bristol City at the moment, is a really good left back. I think he would do a better job defensively than Alonso currently. You've mentioned some other fantastic players there already, and there's many more besides. So Chelsea have talent within the squad if it's used properly and developed properly. And if this ban happens long term, it could actually be a benefit. But of course, Chelsea are not a club who plan for the long term. They are short term success. And to be fair, they've had that and it's worked to a degree. Right, boys, thank you very much for the preview. Enjoyed that very much. Let's hope we win both. My suspicion is we'll win one, draw one, but I'd probably take that at this point. You can follow us. Bardi is at BardiTFC. Nathan is at Nathan A. Clark. I'm at Windy Coys. If you want to email us, you can do so at theextrainch@thefightingcock.co.uk, and we're on Twitter at @theextrainch. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.
It's the fight in.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.